Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Now read from the New King James Version. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. And he says that, so from 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. This is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But Paul says that he prays, does not cease to give thanks and to pray these prayers for the church at Ephesus when he was here. These prayers applies to us as well as believers. These prayers applies to the church everywhere. But notice that he says that in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's saying that he wants this knowledge. He's praying that this thing will be revelation to them. This thing will not just be in their heads. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ will not be in their heads, but it will become revelational knowledge. He says that the eyes of your understanding, another translation says that the eyes of your heart being flooded with light. God wants us to be able to have a revelational knowledge of what happened in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is once it becomes revelation unto you, once it is revealed to you what exactly happened in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to reign in life. So the next couple of weeks, we'll look at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to us. But let's continue. It says that, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches, notice, the riches of his glory. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Notice it says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The exceeding greatness of his power. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He's saying that he wants us to know that the greatest exercise of God's power took place when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And not only was that power exercised when he was raised from the dead, that power is already toward us who believe. Hallelujah. That power, if you are a believer, is already towards you. Notice the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. My Lord, I'm excited. Hallelujah. The greatest exercise of God's power is already toward us who believe. Resurrection power is already towards you. Hallelujah. Who believe? If you are a believer, that power, according to the Bible, according to God's word, is already towards you. And the Apostle Paul is praying that the eyes of our understanding, or the eyes of our heart, will be opened, that we may know what happened. Hallelujah. And that which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What? Far above. Glory to God. Far above. Far above. Far above. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things. How many things? All things. All means all. Under his feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. He put everything under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, or for the benefit of the church. Jesus Christ didn't need the authority. He didn't need the power. He already had the power and the authority before he came. But he came to do all these things for the benefit of the church. But so learn to pray these prayers for yourself. He's praying that this thing will be revelational knowledge to you. So this morning, I want us to look at just one aspect of it. What became available? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to us today? What did Jesus Christ come to do? What did he come to accomplish? What does it mean to you and I today in our day-to-day activities and in our day-to-day life? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Once I was thinking about this, I thought, when God parted the Red Sea, I would think that that's probably, in my mind, the greatest exercise of God's power. But no, here he's saying that the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, he is alive. He's alive. And if he's alive right now, what does it mean to us? What is made available to us as believers? And let's explore that this morning and in the coming week. This today, I want to look at one aspect of it. The very life of God that has been made available to us in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very life of God. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 10, 10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus speaking, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This tells you where all the stealing, the killing, and the destruction comes from. And then he tells us exactly what he came to do. The roots were there for life. There is Zoe. It talks about the very life of God. The very life of God. The very essence, the being of God. Jesus Christ said, that is why I came into the world. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. As another translation says, till it overflows. Have the very life of God in you till it overflows. You see, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Perfect. Everything was good. They disobeyed God, and the Bible said that the day that you eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. You will die. Notice that they didn't die physically that day. That was spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Damn, they are separated from God. They are separated from the Father. When God comes, they are running away from his presence. So instead of having God's nature, which is life, now they have the devil's nature, which is death. And so the reason why Jesus Christ said he came was to restore that life back that man lost. And that life is the very life of God. That life is the very being of God. That very life is the same life that is in God. And he's saying that I have come to restore to humanity, to my creation, this life, this Zoe. Hallelujah. So let's look at all other scriptures along those lines about what this life means or what this life is. John chapter 5, verse 24 to 26, the nature of this life. John chapter 5, 24 to 26. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Notice, passed from death to life. My word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Notice that. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father, notice, has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself. As the Father has life, this is the life of God that we are talking about here. As the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself. And in the previous verse, he says that he that believes in me has passed from death to life. Has passed from death to life. You have switched from the kingdom of darkness, which is death, into life, into the very life of God. The Father has life in himself, and he's given the Son to have life in himself. And then he's also said that whoever believes in me will have life, will have life. That is the object of his coming. Hallelujah. That is the reason why he came. The Father has that life. Jesus has that life. Man, when he sinned, was disconnected from that life. But Jesus said, I came to restore that life back to man. I wanted you to see that. You've passed from death to life. If you believe in God, in Jesus Christ, you've passed from death to life. It's the same life that is in God himself. That life is now in you. You have passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given the Son to also have life in himself. Hallelujah. And then whoever comes to him and believes in him, he gives him that life. But that life, sometimes when we think of everlasting life, we think of
life
that will just continue after death. That is true, all right. But think about it. Everybody, once you are born into the earth, if you are a human being, when you die, you'll be alive, whether in hell or in heaven. One will go to heaven, one will go to hell. The one who has God's life will go to heaven. But the point I want you to see here is the very life of God has come into you if you are a believer. The resurrection life that Jesus Christ now has, that same life, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that life. Let's look at other scriptures that confirm that as well. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 14, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, says the same thing in different words. 1 John 3, 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I get excited about the scriptures. We know, not we think, not we assume, not maybe that's the case. We are positive. We know that we have passed from death to life. We have passed from the realm of the devil, which is death, which has all everything. He said that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have switched camps. We have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that same resurrection life, you have passed from death to life. You have passed from death to life. You have passed from death. I can preach on that for a long time. You have passed from death to life. Passed from death to life. You have the very nature of God in you. You have the very life of God in you. And out of that nature flows all the fruit of the Spirit. You see, in the natural, if you have a child, that child says certain characteristics because they are your child. In the same way, if you are a child of God, we share the very nature of God. And that very nature is a nature of love. So he's saying that we have passed from death to life. How do we know? Because we love. That is the first fruit. Galatians chapter 5. That is the first fruit of the Spirit that is talked about. That nature is a nature of love. That nature is God's nature. The same love that is in God, that God has, that nature. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Spirit of God that is in us. That nature is there. It's already there. It's the very nature of God. It's the very life of God. We just have to learn how to walk in that nature. Hallelujah. Our nature has been born again. We have been born into the kingdom of God. We have passed from death to life. We have passed from darkness to light. We have passed from the realm where all the stealing, all the killing, and all the bad stuff are happening. We have come into the very kingdom of God. He has given us his life so that life can overflow to everybody around us. Everybody that we come into contact with will know that we have the very life of God in us. We know. That's positive. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We have the very nature of God, and that very nature is a nature of love flowing out of us and reaching out to everybody around us. We just have to learn how to walk in it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. John talks a lot about this life, this divine nature, which is a nature of love, and the very life of God. He's saying the same thing here in different words. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And this is the testimony. Actually, now he defines it. That God has given us eternal life. He's given us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you see it? The same thing that he's saying. I want you to know that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Hallelujah. You have in you, if you are a Christian, the very same life that is in God. The very same life that is in Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. The very same life. That same life is in you. You see, that life is different. There are so many Greek words for life. There's one for manner of conduct, how you conduct yourself. But this one is talking, and that is what we need to major on as a church. The very life of God. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Key issue. This life that he's talking about, that is the very nature of God. That is what produces all the other fruit of the Spirit. That very life that is in God. You share the same life that is in God. Be conscious of it. It's in you right now. He who has the Son has what? Life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. That's the difference. There are two families in the earth. The family of the ones who don't have life, which are the Bible calls them the children of disobedience or the sons of the devil. And then we that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the very life of God. The very life of God. The same power, the same life that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We read earlier on, it's already toward us who believe. We share the same nature with Almighty God. Hallelujah. With that consciousness, you can go out and win. You can go out and be a success because you know that you share the same characteristic. We just have to grow in grace. All right, but the point is, we have the very same life of God in us. The very life of God is in us right now. Be conscious of that. So what is this? What is this? It's the nature of God. I've already said that. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 emphasizes that point. So the first point is, we have Jesus Christ. The reason that he came was to restore life to man. That is what man lost in the garden. He passed from life to death. Adam was literally, if you say, we can say it, born again in reverse. He passed from life to death. And now Jesus Christ comes to do it so that we can pass from death to life. He reverses it so we can be restored back to originally his intent. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 talks about the divine nature of God, partakers of the divine nature. It says, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is the good news. You see, that is the good news. Partakers of what? The divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped that the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is in the world? The world is in the world a spiritual death. We have escaped that. He's saying the same thing in different words. We have partakers of the divine nature, and we have escaped. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. How did he do it? By giving us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us this, the Bible, which contains his word, which contains his promises, which contains what he has done for us in his death, burial, substitution, his resurrection. What he's done for us, that we may be partakers of the divine nature and escape. Escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is what makes us distinct. That is what makes us walk as overcomers. I am a partaker of the divine nature. Say that to yourself every day. I have the very life of God in me. I am a partaker of the divine nature. The divine nature. Hallelujah. The more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, God himself coming down of his own accord, sending his son to come and die for us, to restore us back, so you and I can be partakers of the divine nature, can be partaker of his love, of his faith, of all the attributes, of all the attributes of God. Be partakers of that divine nature. That is the having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. That is what can cause somebody who has the most meanest person, the most worst person, the most worst sinner on the earth, by virtue of them, of us, and they confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, they are passed from death to life. That nature gets changed. They are born into the kingdom of God. They are translated into the kingdom of God. They come in and we as well can partake of the divine nature. Partake of the divine nature. Partake of the divine nature. The very nature of God. The very life of God. Hallelujah. How confident you can walk in life when you know that you share the same nature with God. The same nature with God. Walking in the fullness of it. That's what we are supposed to major on. The life of God in us, working through us, reaching out, and being a blessing to our world. Hallelujah. It is in us. How do we do this? How do we take it out? How do we let that life manifest and come out and be a blessing? Hallelujah. And how do we give that to the world as well? We just tell them that, look, you do not have to abide in the nature of death. Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to be restored back to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 20, verse 31 emphasizes the same thing. Why Jesus Christ came. Why Jesus Christ came. John chapter 20. John 20. Thank you, Lord. Verse 31. It says that, but these are written. Before that, he says that, and verse 30 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have what? Life. Believing you may have life in his name. He's saying that all these things that the Apostle John has written, this is the key issue here. It's all about receiving life. You may have the very life of God in you. That is what has been restored. This believing you may have what? Life. Believing you may have life. Believing you may have life. Believing that you may have life. In his name. That is the object of his coming. Keep that in mind. If you didn't learn anything this morning, just get this. That is the reason why he came. And what will that life do for you? What does that life mean for you? That is what makes the Christian walk distinct from any other religion. All the other religions of the world, they can talk about so many things. They are prophets. They are dead. There's no life in it. But the Christian, the object, the reason that Jesus Christ came, that you may have life in his name. Be conscious you have the very life of God in you. When that life came into my life, I knew definitely that there was a change. There was a definite change. I could tell definitely. I am a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. And then I began to feed on the word of God, study the word of God, hear God's word preach. And then I started growing, and then you start growing, and then you start growing. But the thing is, the life in you It's the same life that is in God and that is in His Son. What will that life do for you? What is the purpose of having that life? That God wants that life to be made manifest. To be made manifest in your life. Number two, God wants to make that life manifest in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. 2 Corinthians. He wants that life to be made manifest in your life. You remember he said that you may have life and have it more abundantly or till it overflows. So 2 Corinthians 4:10 says that always carrying about in the body, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus may be made manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Says it again, that the life of Jesus also may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Hallelujah. Twice he says it. Notice that. The life of Jesus made manifest in our body. The life of Jesus made manifest in our body. That life will drive out that sickness. The life of Jesus made manifest in our body. The life of Jesus made manifest in our mortal flesh. Mortal means that it is subject to death. But while we are here, he wants that life to be made manifest in this body of ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life made manifest in our body. Twice he said that we live. But why do we live? We live that the life of Jesus may be made manifest. Or as Jesus puts it, till it overflows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reason for that life coming into our lives. For the life to flow out. For the life to flow out into this body of ours. That life is in our heart. It's in our spirit. But he wants that life to be made manifest in our body. Hallelujah. Life made manifest. The life of God made manifest in our body. Philippians also says the same thing. That is what the Apostle Paul was conscious of. The life of Jesus made manifest in our body. Philippians 1:20. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says the same thing to the church of Philippi. Philippians 1:20. The life of Jesus made manifest in our body. It says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be made manifest in my body, whether by life or by death. He's saying that this life that I've received, I want it to be magnified. So now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Hallelujah. He wants that life to be made manifest everywhere, in our household, at work, everywhere. That life, Christ magnified in us. That life will be so magnified that when people see you, they will know that you have the fragrance of heaven. You have the fragrance of Christ himself, made manifest, made magnified in our body. Paul puts it this way, for me to live is Christ. Christ lives in me. I'm no longer the one living. He's taking me over completely and using me to be a blessing to humanity. You may tell yourself that I'm only one person. How do I count? I mean, what difference can I make? No. Jesus can take your life and magnify himself through it. The life of Jesus that you have received can be magnified in your mortal body. It can be made manifest in your flesh. It can be made manifest everywhere you are. That fragrance of heaven, that resurrection life, the same power and ability that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is already toward you who believe. You can walk in dominion. You can walk in the authority that Jesus Christ has restored. He has restored that very life back to you, and you can walk in that life. You can walk in the fullness of that life. Hallelujah. So important for us to think about, even as we think about resurrection power, resurrection life. The reason that he came was to restore that life. And that life is now on the inside of you. You are not trying to get it. Notice John says that we know. We know. We know. We know. We already have that life. Allow that life to be made manifest in our flesh, in our bodies, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. That life being made manifest in our lives. And as we walk in it as well, that same life is the same life that delivers us, that heals us, that we walking in that life, we overcome as Christians. Hallelujah. I want to close with Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20. Victory, victory, victory. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 20 says the same. Romans 5, 10. It's 10. My apologies. Romans 5, 10. This is good news. Hallelujah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his sons. When were you enemies? You were enemies because we had that nature of death. We have the same nature that the devil had. When we were enemies, think about it. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. When we were enemies, we were reconciled. See, God, the Bible is all, God always is, God is a faith God. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in the mind of God, and when he submitted his blood to God and God accepted it, in the mind of God, the price had already been paid. The world was reconciled back to him. But then everybody in the world has to accept it. So he's saying here, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. 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 Much more, much more. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Now, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved. That word saved encompasses the whole redemption program. It encompasses the new birth, your healing, everything that you need. He said, we shall be saved by his life, shall be delivered also by his life. We shall be healed by his life. We shall be made whole by his life. That life that you have received, that is the source of you walking victoriously in the Christian walk. Hallelujah. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Be conscious of that life every single day. Tell that to yourself. Even when I was in the world, sinning and doing all the bad things, I was reconciled to God. How much more, having been reconciled, this situation that I face, the life of God is in me. That life that is in me, I will be saved by that life. I will be delivered by that life. I will walk in victory by that life. Nothing can defeat me. He defeated the enemy for me. I can walk in that victory. Hallelujah. I shall be saved by his life. Shall be saved or delivered by his life. No matter what confronts you, that life is sufficient to deliver you and to save you. Hallelujah. Want to stand on the whole nation and proclaim that to nation. You are no longer, God has reconciled you to God through the death of his son. And now that you are, if you are a believer, you are saved by his life. Saved by his life. Delivered by his life. Healed by that life. That life is the one that is the source of your salvation continually throughout your Christian walk. That resurrection life, that resurrection power, is already towards you who believe. Hallelujah. And so, even during this season, think about it. Why did he come? Number one, he came to restore the life of God back to you. Number two, you as a Christian has the life of God in you now. And number three, you are saved by that life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Delivered by that life. And you have partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of that divine nature. That life flows. It flows and reaches out to people. That life is dominion over death. Hallelujah. That life flows as well. It's already in you. It's already in you. That life is already in you. I shared this testimony before. We're praying with somebody who had a back issue. And we prayed. I could sense it to the glory of God. The life flowing into that person. And then he said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And then the pain was all gone. When pain comes to your body, he says that the life shall be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Tell that pain to get out of your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Walk in that life and share that life with the world this season as well. The very resurrection life of God has now been made available to us. Hallelujah. It's in us. It's in us. Hallelujah. We'll continue in our study next week. We'll look at the various aspects of the redemption story, or as he traveled, what happened in the garden, what happened when he was on the cross, the substitution, what happened when he died, those 3 days when he died, so important, what happened when he was raised up, and all the other benefits and all the other things that have been made to us, available to us as a result of this resurrection. I'm excited. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray. Let's pray. This morning you have heard God's word. What the life of God means to you in the now, in every day of your life, that life is in you. The same nature of the Father is in you. The same nature. Just talk to God and say, God, like your word says, I want your life to be made manifest in my flesh. In my flesh. In my flesh. In the name of Jesus. I want the life of Christ to be magnified in my body. To walk victoriously. Saved by that life. Saved by that life. Whatever is on your heart as well. Whatever the situation is. It says you are saved by that life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. You have heard the word of God. His very life is in you. You have passed from death to life. Dominion, 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 dominion over death. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for our very lives, O God. Thank you that you sent your Son to come and redeem us. Reconcile us back to yourself. Reconcile us back to yourself. We are saved by that life, O God. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Whatever the circumstances of our lives are, we thank you that we are saved by that life. I pray, Lord, for everyone here, Lord, in the name of Jesus, may we ever be conscious of that life, conscious of the resurrection life that is in us, and walk victoriously as Christians in the name of Jesus. And if you are listening to this as well, you say, Pastor Paul, I hear the word of God. I know exactly what you are talking about. I do not want to abide in death anymore. I do not want to abide in darkness anymore. I want to receive this life that you are talking about. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I thank you for making this life available to me. I receive this life, O God, and I thank you, Lord, for it. In the name of Jesus, I believe that you were raised from the dead, and I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every one of us here. May our week be blessed. Fill our mouth with goodness and testimonies this week, O God. May we see your hand at work in our lives. May we see this life every single day of this week in our lives, O God. We thank you and we give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace, his shalom, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.